Coach Bob is my mentor, and so I get to meet with him regularly. And I was talking to him about our vision passages, particularly that first one about going and making disciples. And I said, Bob, what's something I should be reading that can teach me more about how to get this done? And Bob recommended a book by Dallas Willard. And so I went to the library and found it and have started it. But it put that name, Dallas Willard, in my mind, because when somebody like Bob says, this is somebody I look up to and take advice from, like, then I can look up to that same person, you know? So I'd heard a little bit about Dallas Willard and read a little bit of his stuff before, but when Chrissy and I were gone on vacation with the kids, we were driving, and one of those sweet moments in the vehicle that the kids were actually asleep, which was not often, we were listening to a podcast, and somebody told a story about advice they got from Dallas Willard. And of course, like, I perked up when I heard that. And so I want to take you through this story. So this is a guy named John Ortberg, and he's an author and a pastor. But he moved to Chicago at one point with his family. And at that point, he had kids that were very, very busy. He was super busy. He was pastoring at this gigantic church, and he had a ton on his plate. And he got to this point where he's feeling like, I'm not very spiritually healthy because I got this is everything going on in my life. How many of you feel like you're at the spot where you need some advice because you think, like, life is pretty crazy right now and I'm not the best on the inside? It's quite a few of us, right? So it's a pretty awesome opportunity to hear, like, somebody else had that same situation and they asked Dallas Willard for advice. So now we get to kind of listen in on that same advice for us. So imagine he's on the phone, and he says, here's my situation, what advice do you have for me? And so Dallas Willard, it says there's this long pause on the phone. And then Dallas Willard says, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And John Ortberg's kind of like, you guys, like, that's a good one. You know, he writes it down. And then, like a lot of you guys, he's like, okay, that's a good one. What's next? And John Ortberg talks about, like, this was a long-distance call, which shows how long ago that call was made. He was like, it's a long-distance call. I got a lot going on. I want to just, like, get as many spiritual nuggets as I can, you know? So he's ready for the next one. So here's how Dallas Willard responds to that. There is nothing else. That's what he says. This super long pause, and then there's nothing else. And maybe you've had a moment like that where somebody's got you pegged, and they know, like, just work on that. That is plenty for you. And obviously you haven't gotten it since you're just like, okay, next thing. You know, like, obviously you haven't gotten it. So he says, there is nothing else. And that stuck with me, and I've been trying to apply that, not being in such a hurry. And so on Monday morning, I don't know if you guys were up early on Monday morning, but if you were, there was tons of fog in Independence on Monday morning. So I'm riding my bicycle here to church, and I'm trying to ride to church early because I've got two projects I want to get done before my first meeting at 9 o'clock. So I have a whole bunch on my mind. But as I'm riding through all this mist, and if you've been over by Crystal Road, by that, they just put in a Dollar General over there, kind of catty corner to that. There's this little field where you probably can't build anything. It's probably like rainwater runoff or something. But that morning with all that mist, it looked beautiful as I was riding by on my bicycle. So trying to apply this, I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to stop. No one's at Dollar General yet. It's too early. I stopped my bike and just sat and tried to just sit and enjoy that and try to listen to God. Now, I'm a normal person like the rest of you. So when I sit down and think, I'm going to listen to God, what's the first thing that happens? I get distracted, you know? Like, that's the way that we work, or at least that I work, where I'm at. So I rode my bicycle in just a few days before. I'd been thinking about the fenders I have on my bicycle when I use my brakes. I'm the type of guy who buys, like, off-brand things. That's who I am, a cheap person, I guess. And so I didn't buy the fenders for my bike. I bought off-brand fenders for my bike that don't quite fit the brakes. So when I squeeze the brakes, I just noticed after using them forever that it makes one fender kind of move. It's not really a big deal. But when I'm sitting there with my bicycle right next to me, I see those fenders, and that's what I start thinking about, because that's what we do when we're trying to listen to God. Our mind's like a squirrel, you know? But I think, like, okay, that's silly. I push it out of the way, and then I look at all that mist, and I have this awesome, like, peaceful moment with Jesus. And it was very, very good. Well, I get to church, and that 9 o'clock meeting is coming, and I don't get both projects done. I only get one of them done. But that time with the morning was really good. Like, I don't regret it even at that point. Well, my first meeting happens to include Brian English and Justin are in my first meeting. And Brian hits the little buzzer down at the east door, and he walks in, and I kid you not, this is what he walks in with. He walks in with two Fenders because Brian's been cleaning out his garage, and Brian knew that he has, like, the slightly nicer version of my bike, but they're basically the same. And Brian's the type of person who bought the name brand Fenders. You know, you can make whatever judgments about us that you want. And Brian's like, I don't want them anymore. Do you want them? And it was just so weird. I mean, it was really wonderful, but the first thought was just how weird that, like, what? Because I just had thought about that with Jesus, and I had pushed it away, like, that's stupid and silly. And Jesus had obviously been listening. And some of you guys might not ever try to do this, but I bet a lot of you ladies, you are wishing that that your husband or your fiance or your boyfriend, you're wishing he was the type of person who would listen to little details and then find ways to be generous. And as a guy, I know, like, that takes an incredible amount of effort to, like, be on top of that, like, the little stuff. And so I could improve in that way. But what I realized that morning is, like, Jesus loves me in that sort of a way. He listened to the little comment that I wasn't even really thinking about, and he took it to heart, and he was generous with it. And I do know from occasionally being that type of generous guy, there's a lot of joy when you get to do that for somebody. And so by not hurrying, I gave that opportunity, that space, for Jesus to do something awesome. And as we hear that, you might be thinking, like, oh man, yeah, I don't want to hurry. Like, I want some, you know, I want to get bike fenders this week or something. Probably not that. Well, I told this story to Brian and Justin because obviously it just happened. Justin was really inspired. And this is what is on the back. If you go over to Justin's phone and take it out of his pocket right now, this is what's taped to the back of his phone. That quote from Dallas Willard, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Much easier said than done. Because the reality is, I wanted to get those two projects done because I felt this, like, it was hard not to. Because I felt like I looked like a lazy person or a not put together person if I didn't get that stuff done. It was, at its heart, it was a pride thing there, right? If you start acting differently, some of the junk in you starts to come to the surface. You start to realize, like, why is that so hard for me to do? There's all sorts of stuff I could share on that. We're going to keep moving forward. We got good stuff to get to. So that's Dallas Willard and Jake. It's a whole lot of not stuff from the Bible. So let's look at the same kind of idea, but let's look at what Jesus has to say with it, okay? So in Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So let's focus in on Martha. Martha has a brother, Lazarus, that we'll read about elsewhere. She has a sister, Mary. But here, when it comes to this house, she's listed as the authority there or the responsible party there. Okay, so a person with some responsibility. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So Mary is there at the house with Jesus and these other disciples, and she's just sitting right there next to Jesus, just focused on him. Not doing anything else, just listening to him. And it's pretty easy if you're reading this to be like, yeah, Mary, like, that was the right choice to make. It's really good. But think back to your own life. When was the last time you sat down and listened at Jesus' feet? Because Adam talked about earlier in his walk with Jesus, he was a studier. He would study the Bible and dig for things. But this year he's grown a lot because he added to that this idea of listening. It's not that you stop reading the Bible, but there's also a space for just giving some space to Jesus. Some time where you're only listening, you're sitting at his feet to receive. So Mary's doing well, right? You read a verse like, Mary's doing well. This next verse, you don't want to be in this spot, these next two words. It says, but Martha. You don't want a verse that's like, this person's doing a good job, but Jake. You know, like, you don't want to be that person that's like the next, like, that person did a good job, but Jake, on the other hand. Like, that's, okay, but Martha was distracted. We don't have to raise our hands right now. I'm pretty sure in 2019, I think we're distracted. That's us. Brian's raising his hand, yeah. Distracted. And you might be thinking, I'm distracted, but I've got so much going on that's so important. Let me compare you to Martha here for a second. She's distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. What is Martha doing? Martha is literally feeding and hosting Jesus and his disciples. Quite possibly, like, all of Christianity is over at her house. And literally, she's physically empowering Jesus' ministry. So, like, whatever stuff you have going on that's really important, like, does it hold up to that bar? Probably not. Like, this is pretty big stuff she has going on. Lots of preparation. She came to Jesus and asked, and I love this. We get a lot about her character in a very short two sentences. Lord, don't you care? Right there. We've all know people like this. They're very good at pushing people into a corner very fast. Right? She verbally tries to just push Jesus into a corner. Lord, don't you care? She's already forced him, or trying to force him into, like, a take my side. Some of us come at Jesus this way. There's no options that we give Jesus. We try to just say, like, this is what you need to do, Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Aww. Like, poor Martha. A lot of the stuff that runs through our head that gets us so upset, if people a long time from now would read the little inner thoughts that you have or the stuff you say, they'd be like, oh man, poor this guy, you know, he's got a really rough day. Don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? And then this last one, she starts commanding Jesus here. Tell her to help me. I mean, you got the exclamation point, the way it gets translated here at least. So she went from, Jesus, don't you care about me at all? I'm going to try to manipulate you onto my side to, like, let me just tell you what to do, Jesus. We're at the second sentence now. Let me just make sure you know what you need to do. And we can laugh at Martha, and then you think about how do you run your life? How do you approach Jesus? She says Lord. She doesn't treat him like Lord in her phrasing, right? There's not a lot of respect or submission or humbleness coming through. Here's how Jesus answers. I love, again, it's really short, but it captures, the writing here captures, I think, the scene really well. Martha, Martha. In two words, Jesus just takes the wind out of those sails of everything she tried to build up, right? Jesus does this a lot, if you pay attention to the Gospels. He doesn't follow the rules of conversation. People come to him with a question or a trap, or they try to force him. And he's just like, I'm not going to go there. We're going to go here instead. Martha tried to say, don't you care about me? Do this thing or it shows you're a jerk. That's what she basically tried to get Jesus to commit to. And Jesus comes back with, like, I'm not even going to answer that. He comes back with a Martha. Martha. He slows it way down and he gets her thinking about, like, oh, I remember who Jesus is. And there's probably a pause, probably like a Dallas Willard sort of pause. We get that the Lord answer. It kind of breaks up the sentence. And Jesus, instead of taking a side or like telling Martha some other advice. He cuts to the core of what's really going on inside of her. And it's so much more powerful than just good advice. And sometimes when people come at us with craziness, we think, oh, I'm just going to jam some good advice down their throat. That'll fix them. If we were connected to Jesus, we might be able to say something that cuts to the core of what's really going on. Because what's really going on, it's not about whatever food she's making. It's not about cleaning the kitchen table. It says, you are worried and upset about many things. None of us want our life to be about that. None of us want our life to be defined by you're worried and upset about many things. Jesus is going to now talk about the sister here. Look at this with Mary. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus says right here, whatever stuff you're worried about, whatever stuff you're focused on or rushing about to get done, if it's getting in the way of you sitting and listening to Jesus, then you chose the lesser thing. You did not make the best choice. I want to point out something special about Mary here. Think back to what Martha said. Lord, don't you care about me? Tell my sister, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine being Mary in that room? How much do you want to talk back to something like that? Because by her going to Jesus, it means one of two things. She already went to you, and you blew her off, and now she's trying to go over your head. Or she's such a big sister that even though you're an adult probably, she still won't even talk to you like an adult. She's just going to the other person in the room and talk about you and what they need to tell you. Whatever way it is, it's pretty offensive. Most people want to like jab back at that right away. What does Mary do in this passage? She sits at Jesus' feet, even though there's other stuff that she could be doing. She listens to Jesus. The final thing she does is she lets Jesus be her defender. And my guess is, since they're sisters, they've probably spent a whole lot of time arguing and justifying themselves to each other, and I bet Mary never did as good a job as this at putting Martha in her place. You know what I mean? Like, just never happened. If we will let Jesus be our defender, it'll be so much better. And it's so hard for us to sit and not talk back, to sit and say, I'm going to let Jesus handle that person. So teaching this lesson to Justin and Brian, I asked him a question that Jesus kind of pushed to Martha. I asked him, what are the things that you're worried and upset about? And I gave him a little bit of space. Well, I filled up that space on the little sheet of paper pretty fast. And there were four things that were worrying me. And this week, God has done literally miraculous things on a lot of those things I was worried about. And I can't tell you all the stories about them because it actually involves some other people and it's their business a little bit. But like one of the things I can't tell you about, it's literally like the thing I was worrying about. As soon as we left the meeting, I got word that something that would have taken me and a team of us here at Maywood like literally a year to work really hard at and pull off, like it had just been done. Like God had just provided it and it was done. It was just like a miracle. And the timing of like you literally just wrote down that you're worried about it and you spent some time with me on it, and then here it is, it's fixed. I didn't need you to do a bunch of effort or get a team of people. I just did it. And honestly, that's not the biggest one. So what I'm going to talk to you about is the biggest one. One of the other things I was worried about is that Chrissy and I had court coming up on Friday, and so I want to invite Chrissy and the kids to come up here. I don't know if First Service keeps secrets very well or not, but I'll just cut to the chase and we'll tell a little more about it. So Chrissy and I got to adopt the kids on Friday. Yeah. Thank you, guys. On Friday, we'd already had an adoption hearing for them, and they had said, like, oh, we're going to change this thing, and we'll push the hearing back 4 months. And so that had already happened, so we didn't know that anything would happen on Friday. And then we'd been told that, like, the vast majority of cases, the judge doesn't make a ruling the day of. They say, like, okay, I've heard everything. And then they write you a letter, like, 6 or 8 months later and tell you what they decided. But the judge specifically mentioned, like, that Chrissy's testimony just was very powerful, and she decided to rule, I think, in answer to a lot of prayers. It provides, yeah, just awesome, yeah. A couple of different things to tell you guys about, but one of the things I wanted to tell you about is, so there's a picture of us today that it happened, and there's different names on there than you may be familiar with, so I wanted to introduce you to these, the new names that we picked for these two. And, you know, in the Bible, a lot of times as people go through a major shift, they will get a new name. Yeah. And so I wanted to introduce you to each of these. So this is Sequoia Hope Taylor.
You want to tell them your name?
This is Sequoia Hope Taylor.
Yeah. And Chrissy, do you want to tell a little bit about how we came to that name?
Yes. So early on, before their goal had changed to adoption, it was still reunification. I was listening to a worship song one morning, and it was Seasons by Hillsong. And in it, gentle bubby, gentle.
I don't want to talk.
You don't have to talk. and in that song, it talks about, like, a seed in the snow, we've been buried to grow, and it goes on and on. But it talks more about a sequoia tree later on. But in it, I just felt like God spoke to me about her specifically, that she is like a sequoia seed, in that in her little life, they are about to turn 3, and in her little life, she has been through such a harsh winter, and she's a little seed. But what that harsh winter does for a sequoia seed is that is what is required in order to open up the shell of the seed, so that that seed can then grow to be the massive tree that a sequoia tree is, and then it is able to withstand all that sequoia, I mean, they withstand fires that trees should not survive. And I felt like in that moment, as I was listening to that song getting ready, that God just spoke to me, like, that's what I have for her. Like, the harsh winter that she has been through as this tiny little person, it will not destroy her. It will make her stronger, and she will be able to withstand.
Yeah.
And that was prior to her medical diagnosis. So then you add on top of that, everything that she has endured, her diagnosis, us pumping her body literally full of poison, and just over and over, even on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, she's in the hospital, where I'm leaving, it's that night, and just, you know, exhausted, and just praying, like, God, It's very scary, and I feel very hopeless. And I pull out of my parking spot, and I cannot tell you any other car I've been parked to next at Children's Mercy because, you know, who cares? I pull out of my parking spot, and I felt like God just directed my gaze to a car right next to me, and it was a Sequoia. It was a Toyota Sequoia.
Yeah.
And I don't read a lot into that a lot of times because, you know, it's like when you have a new car, then you see that car everywhere. But that was very specific for me. I'd prayed for that. And so God just has told us time and time again, I have life for her and hope for her middle name. Yeah. Just that from the beginning, we have had such hope in Jesus for their life. Whether we got to be in their life forever or not, we had our hope in Jesus, yes, and that Jesus has hope for her, so we do too.
Yeah.
And then his name we have changed to Samuel Wren Taylor. Would you like to say your name? No. Okay.
He's a little more shy, yeah.
And Jake can talk to you more about the Samuel.
So, we got to meet these two on September 8th in 2017, and Kariana, you could see all over her face. It had been a rough time, but he was so joyful right from the start and full of laughter, and has continued to be that, like a source of joy for the whole family through a whole lot of things. And Samuel means like to laugh, and so that was definitely a piece of it. Yeah, you're getting a little bored. You've heard this before. When I was growing up, one of the most significant formative things my parents did was from a really little age, they respected me and my siblings to be able to hear from God and ourselves. And that's Samuel's story in the Bible, is that Eli, when he was really little, he respected Samuel to have a word from God. And for both of our kids, that's a huge important thing for us, is we want to expect that God can and will speak to them. And Wren is a bird, and just like the birds have this joy to be able to sing, even when they don't know all the answers for the future, we see that same sort of spirit in Kyler. So felt led to both of those names, and it was a big decision, but we're really excited about it. Yeah. So prayer has really carried our family, and I'm so thankful to you guys for how you've continually prayed for us. And I see the effect of it. Chrissy talked about this in first service, how all the doctors and stuff we talked to about Sequoia, like she is doing so much better than they expect. But I wanted to continue that, and today I'm asking Coach Bob, I'm not sure where he's at, here he comes, Coach Bob to kind of lead us all. I'd like to dedicate our family to Jesus in a fresh way today, and ask Bob to lead all of us in prayer, if you guys would join Bob in that. Yeah.
Well, Lord, we thank you so much for the gift that you have given these two children of Jake and Chrissy. Lord, we thank you for life, and that you have abundant life for them, and joyful life. And Lord, we just pray right now for Sequoia, and we ask your wonderful grace in her life. We pray for Samuel, your grace in his life. And Lord, we ask that you would fill them with your spirit, be near to them. Lord, take them all the way that you want them to go, in a mighty and a gracious way. And Lord, I thank you for Jake as he waits on you, and Chrissy as she hears from you, Lord, that you guide the two of them, that you lead them, that you bless them, and you bless this family. We give them to you. We commit them to you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, we just love being at Maywood, and we love being a part of the family here. So the amazing thing that God's been showing me over and over is we can put all this effort into our life, and it's important that we put our whole heart into Jesus, but Jesus can so quickly do so much more than we can do. And if whatever you're doing, if it's getting in the way of you being at his feet in quality with him, then you're missing it. You're missing the best that he has for you. And I want to show you two more slides, because I know like that's a lot to kind of wrap your head around. This quote, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life," it's trying to give you something. But I know on Monday, I had to swallow some pride to not just work on those projects. And on Wednesday, Chrissy had a migraine, is trying to take care of both kids. And I wanted to be a hero and like come home in the middle of the afternoon and just help. But I had too much to do, and I just couldn't do it all and be good to Jesus too. And so I had to swallow down that, like, be everything to everyone temptation. And the truth is, like, as Chrissy and I stay close to Jesus, like, Jesus makes everything else work out. Like, that's what we're responsible for. And Jesus' defender here, let me say this last quote, it will not be taken from her. There's a lot of things in life that you try and it doesn't work out. Maybe you guys haven't read Revelation very much. It's kind of a confusing book, but one of the things that comes out in Revelations is these awesome images and identifications of Jesus. One of the things it says about Jesus is the one that any door that he opens, no one can shut. And any door that he closes, no one can open. And what Jesus is promising Mary, it is not a stretch that he is promising it to us too. When you say, I'm going to choose to sit and be with Jesus and listen to him, no one else can interrupt that or take that from you. Not your sister, not all the forces of hell. Like, nobody can keep you from Jesus. And so if you're not with him, listening to him, like, you're the one that has to act. Jesus wants it, but you have to choose it. You have to actively choose it. We've used up all our time today, and yet I know some of you are eager for prayer. I was hearing that downstairs. So here's how we're going to close the service out. I am not offended if you are hosting people for the Chiefs game or something like that. But if you do need to leave, here's what I would ask. I'm not offended, but if you need to leave, please leave out these north doors right here. It's a beautiful day. You can walk around to the parking lot. But if you want to come down and pray or stay and worship for a little while, we're going to have people down front to pray and worship. So it's okay if you got to go, but please go out the back. If you want to stay and spend some time with Jesus or pray up front with somebody in Jesus, you can do that too, okay? Daniel and the team, if you guys will come on up, let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. And I remember that this week, that my times with you have been my best times, and that you have taken care of me when I've held tight to you. We trust you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.